CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, philosophizing about a governments that appear to be exhausted in the same fashion, the autocracies of Moscow and Beijing and the democracies of Washington and their allies, exhausted in a war in Europe that has no beginning, has no end, doesn't have, what you'd have to say at this point, any clarity whatsoever of why are we doing this? What are we fighting for? We speak the same language, and yet, and so we come to the third possibility for exhausted democracies and autocracies, back to constitutional monarchy. Gregory, the 17th century was the English revolutions, serial revolutions, shedding Charles I, then shedding Cromwell, then shedding James II, and leading to William and Mary. But what was maintained was the kingship, although it was dramatically changed by the House of Commons, Parliament, dramatically changed. That is the constitutional monarchy that is the model. We don't have it here in the United States. They certainly don't have it in Moscow and Beijing. Is it possible to be brought to those countries, and will it stabilize them?
It's possible that both the People's Republic of China could collapse and be transformed back into a more traditional Chinese society, which may adopt the imperial crown again. It's difficult, and it may be a long process. In Russia, it's actually much closer. But what we're seeing today with the three great military powers of the world, the U.S., Russia, and the People's Republic of China, is that, and by the way, the European Union, is that they are governed by people who are both head of state and head of government. So most heads of state and heads of government cannot command the loyalty of all of their subjects. The clearest example, of course, is the United States. You have a head of state who is head of government who can command just over 50% of the votes, which may or may not be 50% of the population. But the reality is that you are governed by somebody who has the support of only half the population. What you have with a monarchy which sits above government is that your head of state, the repository of identity, nobility, sense of purpose, continuity of the existence of a society, is there to protect all of the subjects, enabling then a politically an elected politician to run the government because he's won that mandate through an election to do so. And the state's future does not fall or rise totally on whether he succeeds or fails. If he fails or if he becomes unpopular as head of government, he can be voted out at the next election or through a no-confidence motion, and someone else will take over. And you can have governments then swinging from left of center to right of center or vice versa. And the state goes on and continues without any loss of identity or confidence. People can feel calm about knowing that the fundamentals of their life, their protections, their intrinsic rights, the laws passed by the previous governments and so on, will remain valid until overturned by new election, a new parliamentary or congressional acts and the like. What we see with a situation like the U.S. is that each administration thinks it has started afresh and is not responsible for the laws and practices of its predecessors. And this gives the U.S. a lack of a perceived continuity from the international marketplace. Similarly, you see that in places like Russia or the People's Republic of China. So there's no sense of overarching continuity. In fact, the Communist Party of China explicitly disavowed the previous Chinese governments, whether imperial or republican, and said we're going to create an entirely new state which has no reference to the past. Now, they've gone back on that because the leaders found it necessary to understand that people see their ancestors as an expression of their identity. And so you find Xi Jinping talking about the great Chinese contributions over history. But he came into power with the explicit commitment to destroying that connection with the past. So the reality is that we all have to come back to our sense of identity, our sense of relationship with our geography, which is geopolitics, and have some way of ensuring continuity. Now, the United States' way of ensuring continuity was to have an artificial crown, and that was the Constitution, or if you like, a combination of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights, which were seen to have had some lyrical and emotional mysticism to the U.S. electorate, which placed the noble ideals of the United States above the politicians in Washington. So as long as the Constitution held its mysticism, it had in effect a crown of its own. But once you see governments pulling down adherence to the Constitution or tending to pick it apart through, if you like, maneuver and reactive behavior, then the Constitution ceases to be that unifying crown of the United States. So it's understandable why you need something there above the politicians to maintain that continuity and that sense of purpose, ideals, and nobility, a sense that, you know, you are not on the wrong side of history, because people view the perpetuation of their clan and their name and their bloodlines as their purpose in life. And you have to have faith in that.
We missed our chance with the 18th century. Can we get it back? Is there a way of knitting together with the monarchy, or do we have to invent our own crown?
I used to think that the United States had to collapse entirely before it could restructure itself. I believe clearly that a great catharsis, like a conflict, like an internal war, an external war, can make people rethink and reaccept or accept new ideas. That's the hope we have to have,
right,
that you can reunite through a cathartic self-examination.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher, Defense and Foreign Affairs. We're going to the NATO summit, the debrief. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.